You're listening to Off-Road Garage Podcast, and here are Jason and Jim.
And we're live. What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
You know, living the dream. Special guest. Yeah. Still keeping that theme going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're sticking with it. We're like a few weeks behind, but that's okay because we got to give him time.
You want to go for redemption this one? Try the intro?
Josh from Cracker Fat. My buddy.
He slaughtered the last one. What's up, Josh? Welcome.
I'm slaughtered. I just, like, there was so much going on in my head. You don't understand the production that goes on this side.
Let Josh talk. Welcome. Oh. Welcome from sunny mountainous Arizona.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Beautiful mountainous Arizona with no snow. So, I'm happy.
Wish we could say the same. There's still snow on the ground. It's still cold in here.
It is what it is, brother. It's what you get for living in the mitten, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So it's been about a year, man. How you been?
Oh, not too bad. It's actually almost exactly a year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we're doing good.
Good. Good to hear. Everybody in the team's doing okay?
Yeah, everybody's doing good. Actually, team grew a little bit this last year with the purchase of the Class 11 car.
Okay.
So, yeah. Team's getting bigger. My daughter's actually going to start racing this year, her little Razor 170. So it's getting bigger and getting better. So all good things.
I think I saw that post recently. Like, Daddy, can I start racing? And you're like, yep. Sure can.
You jump on that, dude. Yeah. You don't turn that down.
I never really wanted to push her into it. You know, I kind of wanted it to be her. If she wanted to, then great. And after going to the Dunes last year, she asked if she could race, and of course I was already prepared, have the shopping cart full of all the race parts for her Razor, just waiting to say go. So of course I said absolutely, and here we are. Her first race is going to be the season opener of Great American Short Course in Victorville.
Awesome.
In April.
That could be probably like the worst thing is a daughter who wants to race. You talk about expensive racing. Yeah. You can't say no to her.
No, I got two of them. So, younger one's already chomping at the bit. She's not quite old enough yet, but yeah.
That could be trouble, but definitely the good way to go. Let them decide because you can't push that.
For sure. Yeah. That's something why I didn't want to do. I didn't want to push it on. I want to, you know, if it's something they want to do, then great.
Yep.
And here we are.
It's not like your kids. Like, one is ready to do anything, but too young.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's kind of need a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the younger one sees what her sister does, and it just drives her even more.
Yes, gotcha. That has a huge effect on it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. She is the, we call her aunt affectionately calls her the wild card. She is just a, you know, typical second child. She is something else. But
yeah, mine all chose to go a different route. But I just bought my 16-year-old a Ford Fiesta on her birthday. So not a new one. It's an old one.
It's still a Ford Fiesta.
It was a grandma recycle. Grandma didn't need it anymore. But. Still a nice car.
But your youngest tears his quad up right here, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah, it's broke because she broke it.
Right. So that's the wild... That's your wild card. She's not...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She goes all in.
Yeah, for sure. We can dive down a rabbit hole of parenting, apparently.
Like, we could easily.
From race cars to parenting.
That's how the last one went. We went down a different rabbit hole than what we totally intended, yep. But that's all right. Oh.
So you want to get back to the brass tacks, and let's talk Cracker Fab racing.
Yeah, let's talk
absolutely
some racing. Because you guys rocked it out with that bug. That looked like a blast.
Oh, man. That bug was something else. That's we hadn't gotten much seat time in it. We bought it in, I remember, November, I think, or December.
I was going to say, it wasn't that long, because I remember you guys posting about it. I'm like, what are they doing now? I almost sent you a message, like, what are you doing? Because I didn't even really realize that was a class. I thought maybe you guys were doing like a different desert race or something. Like, I wonder what they're getting into. That looks cool. And yeah, it was awesome.
Well, my buddy Jake, actually, he wanted to race the Mint 400. And he hit me up, I think, it was probably a year and a half ago. to get one to race the Mint. And at the time, I just, it wasn't a good time for me to pick up another race car. So we didn't. And then Hammers came around this year, and they announced the Class 11 race. And so, yeah, we started talking about it and found this car, and it all just came together. So me, buddy Jake, and other buddy Nick, we all went in on it. And, yeah, me and myself and Nick are driving it. We're going to switch off driving duties, and Jake's going to co-drive. So it's going to be a cool little venture.
That seems really awesome, and I don't know. It's just such a cool little thing to be ripping around, and, like, watching it was like, oh, that looks like fun. I remember seeing you guys ripping by. I'm like, I know those guys. The car's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, we hadn't huffed it off anything. I mean, other than the that one video that we posted that kind of went viral. We unintentionally huffed it there, but we rounded that first corner to hit that first jump, and I didn't know what to expect. You know, we got whatever 8 inches of suspension travel, and we sent it off that thing, and it was surprisingly not as bad as I was expecting. So it's that car is a blast. The funniest thing was in that race was every lap there became new obstacles on course.
Okay.
We had bumpers here, fenders here, skid plates. So it's just, you know, it was dodging all that stuff all throughout the race. That was
awesome.
Pretty funny.
Oh, and Jim pulled up the video. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty great.
Full on huff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That was an unintentional. We hit a few times before, and it wasn't quite that big. So I went a little bit faster, and yeah, we achieved that.
It's kind of funny how you start to have, like, more fun in smaller things that, like, you know, you're like,
yeah,
it's like the moped. You know, you don't want to admit it to your friends, but the thing's kind of fun to rip around.
I mean, you're talking about
we all ride three-wheelers.
Right.
We all ride the three-wheelers, the 70s and all that stuff. It's just, I think it's in our head that we can't get as hurt driving those.
As hurt.
Oh, that's funny. You say, cause that's what my daughter would race her four-wheeler, which is like 110cc, and I have like an older, I think it's a 70cc three-wheeler Honda. Like, man, it's old. But, like, I feel like I'm in Mario Kart. Like, I should be chucking bananas behind me when I'm riding it.
Yeah.
But, it's a blast for me to ride, even though I'm not going very fast at all. It's just still
like
fun.
You are, though, because
you're an inch off the ground, and like I said, I'm ready to chuck some banana peels and send her spinning into the wall or something.
So I think I missed this. They're racing Class 11 at the Hammers now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's part of the that Desert Invitational.
So it's a desert course?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
I'm trying to, like, see this.
We're not racing the Hammers trail for this.
Okay. Cause I'm, like, over here, my brain didn't work. It, like, froze for a second, and, like, I short-circuited. Like, I've seen 40-inch tires get swallowed by these rocks, and you're racing a bug? Like, what?
Yeah, no Hammer thrills in that thing.
Okay.
That would be rad.
I think you wouldn't make it very far.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
That's why I short circuited. I'm like, no. You're gonna hit that bumper and be done.
Just run into it and stop.
It does look like a good time though. Like, it's on my phone right now on loop. I just keep seeing you hit that huck, and it's like, I want to look for. My neighbor brought home a bug, like, because they're nostalgic about them.
Yeah.
Every time I walk my dog, I'm like, I wonder what they want for that. I'm like, I wonder if I can get that. I need another project in the garage.
Yeah, well, you know. I was never really a VW guy until we bought this. Now I find myself looking at them because they're so simple. You know, they're simple and relatively cheap to repair compared to, you know, the Jeep.
Right,
for sure.
I've never wanted one. I mean, I grew up, like, up in North, and my uncle was big into buggies, like sand rails.
Yeah.
And they always saw the VW guys. I'm like, well, they've got doors and stuff. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, like, I never wanted a VW until, like, this kind of stuff.
Right.
That I wanted that or a Syncra. I wanted a four-wheel drive van. A whole different application, but they're kind of rad.
Yeah. Until, was it Blake Wilkie who, like, tore it up in that Baja Bug in, like, California?
You got, like, all kind of tickets?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Until I saw that, I was like, oh, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't I have one of those?
I don't think there wasn't much of a bug left of that other than the body. But,
no, but it was, you know, it.
Yeah, I take one as well.
Yeah,
it's hard to say no to.
You also can't afford the tickets that he got. So,
but I love that class 11. I love that, like, everything, you know, like, just it's a regular car almost. Right.
You're just bombing. Yeah, it
really is. The rules are crazy. You know, you think I always thought stock class for Ultra 4 was it was pretty confined for the stock class, but man, you get into the rule book on these class 11s and it's, you know, they're going down to the vintage trunk lid versus the non-vintage, you know, for 69 versus 70 or whatever year it is. I mean, it's pretty crazy how particular they can get with this thing. Yeah, it's kind of a whole new world.
So it's not just as simple as like, oh, stock suspension, stop drivetrain. Okay, good. Like, you really like.
Can you imagine that? Like, building the car, going to a race, and it being like DQ'd because you don't have a vented lid.
I hear the wrong trunk lid.
Right. Your headlight trim louvers are wrong. Yeah. So
sorry.
What?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would actually ever DQ out of the race for it, but I think there are some people that will complain about it.
Oh, I'm sure. Like anything. Especially if you win or do really well.
Right.
All those the vented louvers, they saved him some time. It's so much more less weight he had to deal with.
Yep. Made it faster.
He put a 70 lid on that 69. It's bullshit.
So how many classes did you guys race at the Hammers this year?
We just have the 4600 race and the class 11 this year.
Okay.
That's all we did.
So how to wrap up 11, looks like you guys had a blast. What did you guys end up finishing in?
We ended up finishing fifth.
Okay. That ain't bad.
So, yeah, out of, I think, 16 cars, I think.
And you had some drama with that car, I believe, also, correct?
Man, we had drama this whole year. It was, we'll get into the Jeep here later. That was a whole thing by itself. But, yeah, the Jeep was tore down. We were getting seat time in the class 11, and I managed to break a side gear in the trans. And it wasn't even anything we were really, I didn't think we were rallying it too hard, but apparently we were. So yeah, we had to pull the motor, pull the trans. Luckily we had a buddy that was leaving Phoenix that night, and he made the trek over to the transaxle place down there and picked up parts we needed. And when he came in, we tore the trans down, replaced that, and had it going. So that one wasn't too big of a deal. But yeah, it was just that, and we bent a couple wheels out testing. So it was just learning the car, honestly.
Right.
We really didn't have much seat time on it, so it was just finding that fine line on stuff.
Learning what 8 inches of travel really is.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it was weird because it didn't feel like we were doing going that hard on it during practice, and then we beat the shit out of it during the race and nothing broke. So
perfect.
kind of weird, but yeah, that was kind of all the drama on that one. Nothing too crazy.
Still sounds like a blast though.
Yeah, it does.
Coming in fifth, that's pretty good. First, you know, kind of what, first time out competition, that's pretty good.
Especially buying the car in November, December and racing in February.
Yeah.
We're pretty proud of it.
That's pretty good.
With it.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, not to pour salt on the wound, but let's go into what happened with the Jeep.
the Jeep's a better story. this year we went out there. I think we were 2 weeks prior to the race. We usually go out there a week before, and we figured with two cars this year, that'll give us plenty of time to test and tune and kind of figure everything out. So when we got there, the Jeep, we had just built the motor, just put the motor back in, after blowing it up at Nationals. So the fresh motor, we had zero hours on it, cause right after we got in the car, it went down to Phoenix and got wrapped, and we picked it up in Phoenix on the way to the lake bed. So everything seemed fine here. I mean, we only drove it around a little bit with the trailer. But when we got there, we took the first spin, and it was immediately apparent that we had a major issue. The motor was making, I shit you not, it was probably 10, 15 PSI coming out of the vent tubes on the motor.
Oh, okay.
So we thought maybe, you know, maybe the rings just hadn't seated or something, which would be super odd.
Right.
But so we put a few more, you know, a few more miles on it, tried to get something to happen, and it was obvious it wasn't going to work.
Okay.
So we made a quick trip into Yucca, which turns out this year we went to Yucca for parts more than any other year combined. We bought a cherry picker, engine stand, whole bunch of other tools that you know, that you typically don't bring with you because you don't plan on doing this.
Right.
Got back, pulled the motor out, and completely tore it down the race trailer. And the only thing we could find that was kind of odd, the clocking on the ring wasn't perfect.
Okay.
So we thought, okay, maybe they're just too close, a little bit of blow by, whatever. So fixed all those, put it all in, and we're probably a day later now. Get the car, get it back in, go for a test run, and same thing. Same blow by issues. So at that point, we decided to kind of just write off our new motor, and we started shopping for another motor. Well, one of our buddies found one in Indio, which wasn't too far away. Kid still had it in his daily driver Jeep, and so we made a deal and had him pull it out that night so we could rush down the first thing in the morning, pick it up. We go down, pick it up, bring it back, and we get it, and the torque converter and everything is still on the motor. And we're like, what in the world? But okay, so we take all that stuff off, throw the motor in the car, fire it up, it sounds great. Everything's good, and let it warm up for 10, 15 minutes, and then just as we're getting in to go take it for a test run, there's a puddle of oil forming under the Jeep.
Oh.
And I'm just thinking, you gotta be kidding me. You know, this kid just had a daily driver. We get to look in, and sure enough, the rear main seal is puking out of there. So, another trip to Yucca for rear main seal and some other parts. Bring it back and pull that motor out. While that motor's out, we had gotten enough stuff to completely rebuild our original motor. We got all the rings, gasket, we had everything to redo it. So, we decided, you know what, we'll give it one more shot. We'll try to rebuild that. And so we go through, hone the whole thing. We mic everything, check everything, reassemble it with some good rings. You know, feeling good about it. Everything looks great. Put it in the car, and same issue.
What?
So, the only thing we can come up with is possibly we got a crack block.
I was just going to say, maybe a crack somewhere or something. That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for as much blow-by as it has, it should be obvious, but it's not. So, so pull that back out, put the Indio motor in with fresh seal, fire it up, and everything's good. Good to go. We go put 60, 70 miles on in the desert, and car is fantastic. Coming back, it's late at night, and the breaker for the fan popped, and we weren't paying attention close enough and managed to overheat the motor, pegged out the gauge to 280, blew the head gasket. So at this point, we just go park the Jeep and drink some beers.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, you know, just one thing after another.
So by this count, I've got four motor swaps already.
Pretty close.
Prior to the race even starting.
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure I'm on the same page everybody else here.
Yeah. we make one more trip into Yucca, get a head gasket, all the required stuff for that, do the head gasket, and while we're doing that, that's this is about the time when the trans break in the VW. So we've got the motor out of the Jeep, motor, trans, everything's out of the VW. And I think this is Friday, so a week before the 4600 race and the day before Class 11 race. So we get all the trans stuff, get the VW together, and then so that day we build the motor, put it in the Jeep the day of the Class 11 race, and we're good to go. So I think five, I may be missing one in there somewhere. I think we had, it was either five or six motor swaps.
Five or six motor swaps and a trans swap.
So you guys got that down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had it, we had the motor, we could pull it in 30 minutes.
That's impressive.
So not something I really wanted to be proud of, but it was good for,
you know,
cut
come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
And this is just this is an I6, right? The 4 liter?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was leading up to race day. We had a class level race, and then we put some more miles on the Jeep and did our normal, you know, shock tuning, go through the car, and everything was good and felt good for race day.
Felt good.
Felt good, looking good, feeling good.
Fresh wrap, new motor.
Hell yes.
Newish right. motor. Okay.
New motors.
Yeah, so finally, a week and a half after we got there, everything's feeling good, everything's feeling right, and we're ready to go. So we do our normal, the Dirty Tony's boys do the full, you know, the full race prep on it and get it all ready, and we get her all ready and line her up for the race.
And it sounds like you did pretty good up until you didn't.
Yeah. So we, it kind of, it was good until it didn't, and it went downhill pretty fast. So we, started off, took off across, I can't never remember the name of the lake bed right there. I think it's Emerson, maybe, right outside of Hammertown.
Okay.
We start the race, we started 26th, I think.
Okay.
So we had quite a few cars in front of us. So we take off. We pass a couple samurais right before that first sandhill.
Not hard to do.
Yeah, they were just chugging along.
Yeah, doing what they do. Understandable. You're running your race. I get you.
Oh, dude! And mad props to those guys because I can't even imagine doing this race in a samurai on leaf springs with 31s or 33-inch tires.
Right, because that's all you can pretty much fit. I think about a 31. What's her name in the silver one? Do you know?
The one that was, like, all over the place this year, like, just her first race and...
It was, like, her first race, like, last year, and this year she was kind of a little bit bigger deal, but I remember watching it on YouTube. They're like, oh, yeah, she's coming to the pits, and they're going to swap out leaf springs. I'm like, what? I didn't know that was a part to swap out.
Yeah, that's a pretty serious change there. Right. Amber, I believe it's Amber Turner.
Okay.
Is who that was. So yeah, her first race I think was last year. I remember watching her come across the stage last year.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. I've seen this, like, swapping out leaf springs.
In a pit, yeah.
Like how do you even know to bring spare leaf springs? I guess.
Samurai,
you know?
People, dude. I'm sure she's probably there with a bloody nose from just getting shook by that samurai.
Oh, there's just, it's a brutal life. They're awesome. They're so small. They go everywhere. I mean, you're basically a side-by-side. Let's be real. But
yeah, essentially.
Anyway, go ahead. So you're passing people.
Yeah, so we go by them. We get on the lake bed, and it is just a disaster. Just there's no wind. The dust is horrible. And we have the new trackers in the cars this year that allowed us to, it would notify us when we were coming up on somebody or when somebody's behind us wanting to pass.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it was kind of a cool, pretty cool system.
That something that, like, Ultra Force provides or Ken Hambridge provides?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like a yellow brick, what they had last year. Okay. They had these this year. And I think a lot of the desert cars, actually run this system, and very, very, very cool system. It's a huge step up from what we're used to. But we couldn't see anything. We were just staying in it, trying to find our way through there. And I look over at Jack and I'm like, how much do you trust that system? He's like, well, it seemed to work pretty good so far. So we just pushed on 50, 60 mile an hour. We couldn't see 10 foot in front of the car. And it was just weaving what we could to get through there. And we had no idea how many cars we passed. But we worked through the desert. I think we passed two or three more cars after that lake bed. And we get to Cougar Butte. Made it clean through Cougar Butte. And I don't remember. I don't think we passed anybody else between there and I can't remember. It's been too long ago now.
Same way too long.
Not fresh enough.
Yeah. Well, yes, I mean, it's only been a month and a half. So
next time we're talking to you while you're in the car, Josh. No, sorry.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, we could set that up for next year.
I hope to.
You guys, there'd be a lot of editing out some cuss words and whatnot.
That'd be hilarious.
This year, whoa,
I'm pretty certain I'm going to try to be there next year. So maybe we can really up our game.
Yeah, you guys definitely need to make it out. I think that's what I told you guys last year. We got you guys a camp spot out there if you guys decide to come out.
Oh, I think we're...
You don't understand how serious he is about this. He's been he's on Airbnb right now looking for places to crash.
Yeah. Yeah, get him now.
I've already been, you know, I've already put the bug in the wife's ear. Like, hey, you know, kind of want to, so... Yeah, making a thing.
Yeah, you can't beat
it. Whatever, we'll fly out to L.A., I'll drop them off, and I'll just shoot over. Yeah, whatever.
There you go. So, yeah, so we make it through the rest of lap one. Car is solid, didn't miss a lick. And it was the suspension changes that we made. The car was crazy fast. It was just... We were impressed last year with the change we made, and this year was just even more. You know, it's just, it's no 4,400 car, but for what it is, it's, it gets it through the desert.
Right. What did you guys change it? Like the shocks and everything? Did you go to different?
Yeah. ADS and, Shock Talk are doing a lot of stuff with the shocks, just making it, we get a little more travel and just, you know, Carl Shock Talk's just killing it with the valving.
Okay.
Just tuning it in. And,
huge difference that makes, huh?
Yeah, huge, huge difference. Yeah, if anybody's going out there not shock tuning, you're missing the boat.
Okay,
it's crazy the difference it can make.
Yeah, especially in that class, you're so limited to what you can do. You got to take advantage of what you can.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we're talking.
You're just gambling on everyone else breaking.
Well, you know, honestly, it's a pretty good gamble.
That's what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, you can finish it. You're doing pretty good.
It's like one of the only races where it's like the guy in the garage has just the same chance as the full out race team.
Right.
Yeah, and it's usually stupid little stuff that takes you out. So yeah, if you can finish this race, you're usually doing pretty good. So yeah, so we finished out lap one, no problem. We're coming into main pit. We're about, I'd probably say, a mile or two out. We notify them that everything's good. We're not stopping at main pit. We're going to roll on through. And it's probably not a half mile, three quarter mile later. We go through a real choppy section. I could feel it just feels like the front end is just flopping around. And I was like, what the heck? So we go through another section. It feels like there's just no, like literally no shock up front. And I'm like, oh man. So we radio back, tell them we're going to stop. So we whip into the pits there at Falcon, and they take a look, and our front driver's shock is just puking oil out of it.
Oh, never good.
So we look at it. There's nothing else broken. Everything looks solid. And so we kind of hem-haw for a minute, trying to figure out, you know, we don't carry spare shock. After this year, we're going to.
Yeah, right.
But,
is it like every year you learn something new to carry a spare?
Exactly. Pretty much we're just going to build a second car and just have that sitting there. So we, you know, weigh all our options, and we didn't really have any. So we decided, you know what, we're going to ease it through the desert, get to the rock. And from there, you know, we don't really need as much dampening as we do through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull out and carry on, and we're just trying to be easy on it through the desert, try not to kill it. And it's still, you know, we're only doing 15 mile an hour, 20 mile an hour, if that. And it's still, it's just you can just feel it's just banging.
Right.
There's zero damping left in the shock. So we get the spooners and dropping the spooners. We don't make it 20-30 yards down the trail, and it's apparent that something is terribly wrong.
Something is awry.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, you know, rubbing and grinding and popping, and it was obvious it was broken.
All so bad sounds.
It was, we had a couple 4,800 cars and a 4,500 car behind us. There's nowhere for them to pass. So we just push on through, do what we can to get out. And, there's a little spot where you can climb out, right at the Spooners and Outer Limits Junction.
Okay.
We get up there, get up on top of the flat spot, and, the driver front of the car is literally, just the tire is into the fender. And it doesn't, even at full bump, it doesn't hit the fender. So we get out and it is just destroyed. We had, apparently we broke the limit strap going across the desert, which then in turn broke the shock. We didn't notice that until we dropped in the spooners, and that allowed the suspension to droop out, puke the coil spring out.
Yeah.
So when that happened, came up, smashed the bump stop, broke it off, bent it into the track bar. And so we were literally frame on axle. And we looked at it. Our pit guys had pulled a shock off of somebody's truck there in pit. So they had a shock ready for us. We were just going to, you know, try to, it wouldn't have been perfect, but it would have got us through the race.
Right.
So they had all that stuff ready. We tried to figure out a way to even make it to 2B. And there just wasn't. There's too much damage, and too many trails between us and 2B to even get there. So unfortunately, that's where we had to call it.
Oh, that is too bad. At what point, going through those rocks with all the things popping and banging and smashing, do you stop cringing, or does that never happen? I'd be cringing. The whole
you know,
time.
I kind of got over the cringing part a couple years ago.
Okay.
So I used to be kind of afraid of denting it too bad or any of that. And then a couple years ago, I realized, you know what? It's just going to get beat up. it's just part of it.
Even for you, though, I mean, that's got to be new noises. When the car is eating itself, that's new noises.
And we're like, I've never felt that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was a completely new sound, like, that
like
we didn't know it, we would have stopped sooner and looked at it. But where we were and what was happening, we already knew pretty much what happened.
Right.
So it was just pretty much just grin and bear it and try to get out of everybody else's way.
So we'll fix
whatever it is when we get back.
So how does the exfil or the recovery happen? Like, I mean, you just, like, a helicopter come pick you up? I mean, because you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, so how do you get that truck out of there?
So we looked at it, and we realized that there really wasn't any more damage that was going to be done.
Okay.
The drive shaft, as long as we weren't flexing it out, because the drive shaft at that point was the only thing holding, limiting the travel on the driver's side. So sitting on the axle. And where we were, we actually found a nice little goat trail out to the flat.
Okay.
So we sat there for a little bit, just drank some water and bullshitted with some of the bystanders there and watched some cars go by. And then after that, we hopped in and just started making our way back. So we drove back at like 10 mile an hour, just frame on axle, just banging the whole way. And
just
I think we drove down probably
the tire self clearance in the fender.
Yeah, yeah, it did too. It destroyed the fender.
Yeah.
But, we just drove it. We drove it back. It was probably, I don't know, 15, 20 miles.
15, 20 miles axle on frame.
It was pretty rough. Yeah, we both downed some ibuprofen and some Excedrin and shellac after we got back to camp.
Yeah, I bet.
So
I figured I'd put my rooftop tent up and be like, yo, forward my mail here. This is where, this is where I live now.
Yeah, that's our problem, though. It's a faux rooftop tent. So we would have been screwed.
But
hey, that's how it goes, though. Sometimes
you
do it, and sometimes you don't.
Right?
It just wasn't our year.
Win some and lose some.
Right. That's why they call it racing, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's part of it. Now we'll just have to, I don't know what we're going to do to make up points for the season.
Okay, so you're still running the full season then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we will be. Yep, full West Coast series. So we may have to venture out east.
Okay.
And, I don't know how far is Crandon from you guys?
Crandon, Tennessee?
Wisconsin?
Ooh, that's not horrible.
I don't think so. Well, it's one of those weird ones where you got to go down and around.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So,
it's across the lake.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ferry, but it only runs so much. I mean, Tennessee might be closer because it's straight.
Yeah.
But we can check it out. I mean, hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We're tossing around that one. Might get out to that East Coast race and get some points back, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So it's not a separate series, the points transfer?
Not for the national championship.
Okay.
They'll still count.
Crandon, Wisconsin.
He's Googling it right now.
339 miles.
Oh, shoot, that's close.
Yeah.
Compared to you guys, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a 24 or 26 hour drive for us.
Yeah.
8:17 for us from your driveway.
Oh, that ain't bad.
Hell, I've been further in our own state.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can make something happen. If you need a couple, you know, pit crew guys, give you a hand.
There you go.
I'm going to point and go, shouldn't there be a spring in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, isn't there supposed to be suspension or something?
Yeah. Hey, you guys are broke.
Well, the good part is we got JKS is sending us all new parts, and we'll have her up and going here.
They're
hopefully
not far,
by next
they're
weekend.
Not far from us either.
Nope.
Cheat over there, pick them up for you.
Perfect. Road trip them out.
Yeah, I mean, if you need them in Wisconsin, I don't know if I'm going much farther than that.
That drive to Moab was rough.
Hopefully, we'll have the car back to 100% by next weekend, and
wow.
Yeah, our next race is in Moab.
Are you guys running their ACOS, like the adjustable bump stops?
Yep.
Those things look awesome.
Did you grenade that too?
So the bump didn't grenade, but the when it came up, it didn't contact
bolt the pad into?
Squarely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it broke the whole. Off the chassis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little more than a bolt-on repair.
Yeah.
Smashing some metal back in.
Yeah, no, they... those ACOS pumps, I think we had those last year. And a huge, huge improvement to the suspension up front.
Yeah, I'd like to upgrade to those on mine.
But yeah,
I'm not nearly putting it through the effort you are.
Well, Sean's got a different company's... same idea in his white, you know, the white JK.
Yeah,
he's got,
white JK.
And just feeling it, like, you know, versus when I bottom out and he bottoms out, it's so much smoother.
Yeah,
you don't get that teeth jarring bottom out when you hit the bumps.
You mean the solid chunk of rubber that needs to compress as opposed to a nice, cushiony?
Yeah, knocking the fillings out.
Right.
And he hucks his pretty well through the dunes, and you can feel it hit, but doesn't shake nothing. So I can only imagine JKS is a very similar, quality to him.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yep. Yeah, they're like, I wouldn't say quite like landing on a pillow, but it's still 5,500 pounds of Jeep. But they definitely cush it up quite a bit.
Still doing the best you can for the stock class.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're stuck with what we got.
Versus landing on like hockey puck material. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had rubber bumps, solid rubber bumps in there for. Quite a few years, so these were huge upgrades.
The much needed upgrade.
That's probably one of those upgrades too. You're like, man, we should have done this 3-4 years ago. It's been so much better.
Well, actually, the you couldn't even run hydro bumps in stock class.
Okay,
3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So we actually the drivers all all came together and we all voted to add, have the Hydro Bump added to the rule book.
Nice.
It's cool it moves. It's cool that it can do that. Like, hey, dude, I'm peeing blood for like the last three races. Can I get something a little better?
We've all decided this is not doing anything good for us.
Yeah, there's certain things that, you know, that are in the name of safety.
Right.
That I think we're willing to change. But some people come to us and just do these changes that are off the wall, and it ruins the spirit of the class.
Yeah.
Really.
Right. We should be able to run long travel and blower, so that's not the point.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Putting the shocks through the floorboard, and you know, if you're gonna do that, you might as well go run 4500.
Right.
Right. And that's what those other classes are for. If you want to do that, run that other class. No, I get it.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what makes this class so cool. It's a challenge to have to package all this stuff in. And a lot of it goes into picking the right car, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and the fact that you guys are still limited to a 35-inch tire, right?
Yeah, correct.
That's pretty awesome. Like, I like that more.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone can do it on, like, a 40.
Yeah, 40 is point and shoot, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you know, 40 and 1,000 horsepower, sure, yeah.
Give her the beans.
Yeah, but when you're running, like, stock-ish engine and 35s,
yeah.
Or in the Samurai's case, a 31.
I didn't know that was an option. Yeah. I'm over here like, let's go find this a 10-top and go race the hammers in a 10-top, Sammy.
No. No, I'm not with you in that idea.
You can change my my leaf springs out for me when I get to, you know, I need the rock springs on now.
There you go.
Now, I think she swapped them out because they were broke.
I would just stay away from leaf springs altogether.
Yeah, it doesn't sound.
Although, you know, I say that, and then, you know, Justin Reese is smoking us every year here on the Toyota with leaf springs, so.
And he just did that, is that video on Amazon, right?
Yep. Yeah. The documentary.
Yeah. I think I watched that. I watched that, a couple weeks ago. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You guys are in there.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. We were camping.
Yeah. Right.
You have to show me that. I haven't seen that one. I got to point that one out when I get home or let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll
Battle of the Badlands.
Yeah. Battle of the Badlands. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. On Amazon. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy what Justin gets that Toyota to do.
It is. What. How was the hype on the all-electric this year? It looked pretty kind of cool. Interesting technology.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a new thing. I'll be honest, I had heard a little bit about it because Dave Ball, the guy we're friends with, he actually used to race that 4Runner.
Okay.
So we had heard a little bit about it. But hadn't heard much about it. And yeah, that was pretty cool.
It'd be
pretty interesting to try and figure out how to make an electric vehicle to last out there.
Right. That's a lot of, well, I mean, I think a lot of batteries, a lot of what ifs and a lot of, yeah.
At least there's no water to worry about.
It's one less thing.
That's one less thing to worry about.
Yeah,
dust and getting shook and beaten and abused and but no water. Gotta look at the small victories, man.
Yeah, I guess. Oh yeah, I don't know. Leaf springs do seem brutal. Electric sounds, it's coming.
Yep,
it's gonna happen.
Well, the weird part can be
the way of the future.
Like, being in a race and being able to talk to your driver, like just talk normal, like because there's no motor stream
you're just,
in.
Like, yeah. It's like when you're riding a golf cart and you just the road noise is all you hear. Yeah.
And the little boom.
You're not going to need like the comms anymore.
I'd make it sound like the Jetsons car just annoyed people when I went by them.
You almost have to.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be as much fun though if you don't have the motor noise.
Yeah.
I need motor noise.
You seem boring to me.
Yeah, I need motor noise. I'm that guy. You have to put a speaker system in that thing or something.
Yeah, because if you heard the noise the car was making, you would be friggin' flipping out. You have to have more noise to cover something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about that. All the noises.
Yes, every
You'd
crack
be so
and pop.
So paranoid. Oh my God, what was that? What was that? Is that a new noise? When did that happen?
Yeah, it's definitely an eye opener. We drive our car without our helmets on. We go, you know, cruise to the mall or the grocery store on our time off. It's pretty scary, the noises it makes.
It's probably not. This shouldn't be on the
road. I just ignore them and put my helmet on and act like they're not there.
Oh, man, Arizona sounds crazy. Rad. Hell yeah, it does.
It just sounds rad living in Arizona. Like, yeah.
Drive your race car to the grocery store.
Go to the old Piggly Wiggly in the race Jeep. Like, what the hell, dude? I get weird looks and no doors on mine. He's riding a helmet.
Yeah, everyone thinks like someone stole your doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely get some looks driving around town.
Yeah. Oh. So. It would definitely stand out a wee bit here. Yeah. I can tell you that. Oh yeah, it's like when I took the doors off my CJ. What the hell is that thing? Oh, that is awesome.
Well, I mean, I'm glad there was. I mean, you got to suffer a little bit for a story. I mean, like changing the motor out 6 times sounds kind of. Now it's funny. I'm sure number 3 was terrible.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I tell you what, it was seriously. Every day for whatever that it was, a week and a half, 2 weeks. It was like Groundhog Day. Just waking up. We woke up, pulled the motor, had an issue, pulled the motor again, went to bed. And it was just a constant, just every day, it seemed like. Oh. And yeah, I tell you what, by the fifth motor there, it was
by the fifth.
It was pretty rough. But
we
never say die, and we push forward, and we made it to the start line. So.
I can only imagine, man. You just look at it, you're like, you're a 4-liter. You're not supposed to be this problematic.
Right. That's why you're around for
so
50
simple.
Years.
Right.
Oh, I remember what the sixth one was. Oh. We didn't pull the motor on this one.
Okay.
But we got everything fixed, put the new head on. And we did the head gasket. We swapped our aluminum head onto this new motor. And while we were at it, we had all brand new lifters. So we went ahead and put new lifters in as well.
Okay.
So motor would start up, run great. And then as soon as it would warm up, it would run like garbage. Just no power, nothing at all. We fought that for probably a day and a half. And we went through everything, trying to mess with the computer, messing with sensors, the whole thing. And finally, it was like 10 o'clock at night. We took it out, and same thing. It got warm, wouldn't run. Well, it just happened to die. So we went to restart it, and it sounded like there was no spark plugs in at all. Zero compression.
Hmm.
So we're like, okay. Well, that's kind of odd, but gives us a direction. We get fire up, head back to camp, and what turned out happening is the new lifters we put in were, when the car was shut off, they were bleeding down ever so slightly. So when we would run the valve, like we did every other time, we were actually getting them too tight because the lifters were bleeding down.
Right, okay.
So as soon as the car would warm up, the valves were never closing.
Problematic.
So, yeah, so that was the icing on the cake right there. Mm. That was just a little last punch in the gut.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we figured that out like 11 o'clock at night. We were all happy.
So you're thrilled.
Oh, thrilled. But, you got to look at the plus side. You're 4-liter experts now.
Yeah, we got it. We got it down.
I can probably just
start
mine.
You can swap it out in 30 minutes. You can rebuild it in a trailer with no issues.
I could probably just start mine. Yeah. They can diagnose it for me. Here's what it sounds like. Oh yeah, check this out.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, we definitely went through everything this last round, but now we have a spare motor to keep in the trailer. So I guess that's a positive.
Bonus.
I mean, you're stepping up the game for sure. I mean,
your collection of spare parts. You're gonna need a whole new trailer.
I'm gonna need a semi here pretty quick.
You're getting there. It's the progressive steps.
Yep. Spare motor. Couple pair of shocks.
Yep. Yep. Oh,
never ending. So there's always something else. But
absolutely,
yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting on that golden hour. But you had some sponsors and everything you want to thank before we wrap this up.
Absolutely, man. Got to thank ADS Shock, Shock Talk, Yukon Gear and Axle, JKS Manufacturing, Rad Design. Oh, man, I know I'm forgetting a bunch.
I know your car is getting pretty stickered up, my
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
looking,
buddy.
It's looking pretty good. That's pretty awesome.
Big one. I almost forgot the main one. Dirty Life Race Wheels. We nice. Swapped over to them this year. Yeah, if you guys haven't checked them out, you gotta check them out. They have some extremely nice wheels.
Yeah, we're doing very good for you guys. Working out well.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, very very nice wheels. We actually didn't bend any wheels this year.
No,
wow.
So that's been kind of a thing for us.
Well, considering you were axle on frame and your tire and wheel were the only suspension you had, that says a lot.
There's a testament right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were great. We got to thank Warren Winch, Adam Driveshaft, Rome Adventure Co. for that awesome rooftop tent.
Hell yes.
Yeah, Rugged Radios and Dirty Tony's Race Support. They keep the car going.
Hell yeah.
So,
awesome.
And KC Highlights. Can't forget those guys.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
yeah, I seen them on there looking good.
Yeah, yeah, looking good, and they compliment everything.
Hell yeah.
Everything, very nicely. And I don't remember if I said, did I say Falcon?
Yep. If you didn't, you did now.
Yep.
I did now. So
they
there we go.
They did pretty good for you too, huh?
Yeah. Another Hammers year with no flat.
And they were pretty awesome. Pretty much everyone kind of went with you on the VW Bug too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pretty much most everybody transferred over to the Bug and supplied us with.
That's kind of cool. You got all the matching, like
right.
all the cars. Looks rad.
That is cool. I wish they made a UTV tire because then we go and wrap my daughters in it as well.
Oh, there you go. So, that would be yeah. cool.
Might be the one to push them over to that. Like, hey,
yeah,
guys.
There you go. Like, hey, here you go. Here it is right here.
I was working on it this year.
So. No, that's pretty awesome, man. Like I said, it does sound like you're not far away from the full race trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep your daughters alone. You might need one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We'll see what happens. But
all right.
Well, it's great. Yeah. Great having you on again, man. Great hearing the stories. Thanks.
Yeah. So, all right.
Thank you guys for having me.
With that, I think it's a wrap.